Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Okay, let's take the news first. There were two major headlines this week. It seems the end of April is the target date for the theater industry in New York to decide whether to take off the masks, so to speak. Now, I have no prediction and not even sure what I hope at this point. The other headline of the week, the 75th Annual Tony Awards will return to Radio City Music Hall on Sunday, June 12th in a four-hour television, that's two networks, and streaming event that will be broadcast live, coast to coast, for the very first time. The Tony Awards eligibility cutoff date for the 2021-22 season, by the way, is April 28th. Nominations will be announced on May 3rd. This will be an interesting slate of plays, many of which have already come and gone, and many, of course, written and performed by non-whites. One question is whether Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster will be in the running for those Tonys. They are big names and respected performers who remained committed through the whole COVID period to the revival of The Music Man. But the show received middling reviews at best. Well, let me add my thoughts, since as of this past week, I have now seen the latest iteration of the classic Meredith Willson musical. Is this the greatest production ever? No. Have the reviews been largely disappointed? Yes, and too harsh? Maybe. Is Hugh Jackman the perfect casting for Professor Harold Hill, the con man role of a lifetime? Maybe not. But you know, he and Sutton Foster are such pros and seem to be having such a good time. They even had an improvised moment or two at my show last week, which made them and us laugh. They're co-stars from the young kids to the barbershop quartet to pros like Jane Houdyshell and Shuler Hensley grab every minute offered them. The dance numbers are excellent. Is this the politically correct show for this moment? Well, perhaps not. Yet to say it's a good diversion from what's going on in the world as we speak is an understatement. A con man with 76 trombones is nothing compared to a madman with nuclear weapons. So for me, The Music Man deserves every filled seat, and they are filled, though I will say the Winter Garden always strikes me as too large and frankly soulless. I can't think of a show that filled it well. Maybe Mamma Mia, but that was a long time ago. Anyway, now we go from The Music Man to The Chinese Lady. Now note that the title is The, not A Chinese Lady, as it tells the story of allegedly the first Chinese woman to enter the United States in the 1800s, where she is marketed as a curiosity by P.T. Barnum and others. Crowds pay to watch her brew tea, eat with chopsticks, and show off her bound feet. Blissfully naive and unsuspecting of the world's cruelty, she initially views herself as sort of an educator. "Thank you for coming to see me," she says to her gawkers. Well, now the gawkers are at the Public Theater, where Lloyd Suh's play is a moving and often funny riff on the story of the real Afong Moy. It manages to travel many decades in 90 minutes. The real Moy stopped performing in 1850 and essentially disappeared. But the Moy of the Chinese Lady goes on to witness the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 and its renewals in 1892 and 1902, which were accompanied by massacres of Chinese immigrants living in the U.S. Well, believe it or not, this is a quirky, if meaningful, two-hander inside the public's smallest venue. Then I saw a pair of newish pieces, both off-Broadway. During the two-year period of quarantining and countless play readings that I viewed, my favorite may have been one about the young Shakespeare and his pal Francis, which takes place during another plague. The Will's biggest problem, at least in the play, is writer's block, until a former lover named Jane shows up. Well, playwright Talene Monaham has now expanded that initial short reading, leading me to conclude that some things are better left small. Though this 90-minute one-act, which has opened at the Ohio Theater and retains the always delightful Michael Urie in the main role, pleases as much as it falters. Its full title, I kid you not, is The Lamentable Comedie of Jane Eyre, that cunning woman, and also of Willie Shakespeare and his peasant companion, Frances. Yes, and also of Anne Hathaway, also a woman who tried very hard. I kid you not, that is the actual title of this, though it's mostly known as Jane Eyre. If you're looking for it, just look up Jane Eyre. The playwright cleverly, sometimes a little too cleverly, combines past and present. At one point, Francis passes his headshots to the audience, claims he needs a new agent. And the Anne Hathaway jokes are, well, very inside. Even Wordle gets a mention, an easy laugh. The New York Times wrote, billed as a feminist revenge comedy, this workshop succeeds at creating smart, lightly absurdist humor, but misses the mark in its attempt at a revisionist redemption. Well, I would mostly agree with that, though any chance to see Michael Urie up close playing an arrogant bard who claims, I invented half the English language, makes me happy. And then I saw A White Man's Guide to Rikers Island at the Gene Frankel Theater in the East Village. This is a tiny venue, maybe 25 seats or so, but it's a powerful little play about a privileged young white man. We have great lawyers. We'll make this go away, says his father, when his son unintentionally, as in DUI, takes another man's life. He learns, as he explains, what it feels like to be a minority in his relatively brief time at Rikers. He experiences what he calls mind-numbing nothingness. He learns a lot. He realizes, as he says, we are defined by our demographics, and describes his two forms of guilt for the crime he committed and for having had an easier time in prison than those less fortunate. This personal one-man telling, well directed by Thomas D. Waits, comes from the mind and memory of Rich Roy. He's portrayed for 90 minutes by a superb young actor named Dylan John Collins. Let's remember that name, shall we? Anyway, other things are going on. 59 East 59 has one called Heartland, described as a story of a father, his determined daughter, and a journey towards mercy. Waterwell Company, always interesting, opens 7 minutes this week at the Here venue on 6th Avenue. This one takes place at a textile factory, spaced, as all Waterwell shows are, on real events. Speaking of real events, Theater of War is back this week with Nurse Antigone, based on the Sophocles work. These always combine actual scenes with conversations about current issues. They only play one time, virtually, and this one is on Thursday the 17th. Check out Theater of War's site. Anyway, I end this report pretty much as I began it, and I ask, are there truly critic-proof shows? Well, The Music Man seems to qualify, as does Six, S-I-X, which is arguably the most successful new musical of the season. People are split down the middle on that one as well. But with both shows, you know what? The crowds keep coming, and most walk out entertained. And Jill, I would say that's good news for everybody.
And frankly, the point of the exercise is the entertainment.
Yeah.
You know. Again, I mean, critics, yeah. Yes, thank you. You know, thank you for that role. Thank you for letting people know
yes.
that... you know, what your opinion is. I
mm-hmm.
would venture to say, and this is my opinion, but as people have become more and more unscreened in the last 25 years, by this I mean internet, people's opinions have started having more weight than actually going out and looking at something with your own eyes. And
no, that's absolutely true. How many people really read the New York Times and saw that kind of review?
If they did, I mean, going back a gazillion years ago, I believe that the movie known as Pulp Fiction, which everybody was just falling all over themselves about, was one of my least enjoyable movie experiences. I was sitting there going, you know, for whatever reason on my planet, it didn't resonate, you know? Just didn't.
No, it's a different thing. Listen, Wicked, you know, we forget Wicked when it opened had bad reviews. You go back and look at
horrible
reviews, they were pretty much like Music Man's were. And who knew that would still be one of the few shows that's still playing all these years later.
Right. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I enjoyed Music Man. Again, I felt that it fit my mood at the time. You can't not be entertained by it. And God damn it, those two people know how to put on a show. You know, they're having so much fun up there, and God bless them. And God bless giving all these other actors and dancers jobs. And, you know, anyway, I don't tell you have to go see it, but I think you'll be pleasantly entertained if you do.
Is there a anything else Music Man-ish on its way, in the wings, so to speak?
Well, there are 14 shows opening in April. In terms of that big a musical, no. We're waiting to see if Mrs. Doubtfire comes back. There's already doubt that that's going to happen. Most of the ones coming in April, I believe, are straight dramas. You know, How I Learned to Drive, Plaza Suite, or whatever the one is with Michelle. There's some, what are the other musicals coming? I mean, the musicals are still doing the best, by the way, on Broadway. Hadestown, they're still the hardest tickets to get. So anything that opens, there's one called Paradise Blue, I believe, coming. That's a musical that is black-oriented. But nothing with the advance sales of Music Man, which 2 years ago was selling out, you know, in advance. So no, nothing like that.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.